I think, like normal, we are expecting, inshallah, especially on this night of Ashura, a few more people to join us. If you can, all my dear brothers on my right-hand side towards the right of this camera, please try and move as far to this side of the camera as you can if you do not need the wall. My dear brothers, try and move as far to your left, and equally everyone, as far forward as you can. Rahim Allahu man qa'im min Ali Muhammad. And equally to the dear sisters, if you are able to move as far forward and to the top left of your room, it would be greatly appreciated so those can come. Ideally, we don't want to have to not have enough space for anyone that wishes to come to this holy night of Ashura, inshallah. In honor of all of the shuhada, and to ease the heart of Sayyidah Zahra salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha, kindly offer a salawat ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. وصلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا لثارات الحسين يا صاحب الأسر والزمان سيدي الأمان 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 من فتنة الزمان. My dearest elders, brothers, sisters, our dear awaited Savior, our dear noble Prophet, your dear daughter Fatima al-Zahra, your dear Wasi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam, to all of you, أعظم الله وأجورنا وأجوركم من مصابنا سيدي ومولاي أبا عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام. Today we wish to split our time in four parts, and it will be a slightly different majlis, as I'm sure you can tell, versus what we've done so far. We'll try and conclude from yesterday on this topic of Tawbatun Nasuha or Tawbatun Nasiha, this sincere repentance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say we'll conclude on it because perhaps yesterday we did feel that I've left it too late. That I identified all these sins. I recognize that I don't even know all the sins that I've committed. That I've not confessed, that I've not been sincere, and now perhaps I've left it too late. And I wanted to share some verses from the beautiful Dua of Al-Arafah by Abi Abdullah Al-Husayn alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To ensure that we all feel and recognize why it is not too late to turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll then mention some of the etiquettes for the day of Ashura according to some riwayat that we have, which we can try and start implementing from tonight. And I feel that if we make some of these changes, even just for 24 hours, just 24 hours from tonight until tomorrow night, that maybe it can start to make us realize that the smallest changes can have an impact and can take us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the ship of salvation that is Imam Al-Husayn. Think of it as conditioning. You need to make small changes in order to get to greater heights. We'll discuss that in the third part, in the second part. Well, then thirdly, try and treat tonight as if our shahada is taking place tomorrow. Because this is what our companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were up against. They were up against a night similar to today, where the next day was the 10th of Ashura, the difference being that in their majlis, in their gathering, they had Imam Hussein alayhi salam looking each of them in the eye and saying, "Are you sticking around or are you going?" And he would let them flee into the night and say, "I won't hold anything against you, but you decide. You decide your fate for tomorrow. Not me. I'm not going to impose." Imam Hussein never ever imposed on any of his companions to stay. "You decide." And maybe with that tawbah and nasiha that we've done overnight, that we'll maybe do as part of today's session, we can truly try and commit to Hussein labbaik, not just physically but spiritually, that I am with you. And finally, we'll conduct one of the toughest masa'ib of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, none other than Ali al-Asghar, was in some riwayat known as Abdullah al-Radi. So inshallah, with your blessings, we kindly begin with the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa
Many of us may have fallen into this very, very dangerous trap that shaitan tries to place, where we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is for only those who do good. If we don't do good, we're finished. If we do good, we get Allah's mercy. Otherwise, we should fear Him. And we find ourselves stuck in this situation. None of us in this room, nobody on the planet except the 14 infallibles alayhim afdhalus salati was salam, are able to truly say that they've never done bad. So therefore, according to our current mindset, if you've done bad, you should fear Him. Completely fear Him and you have no hope. Imam Hussein, however, reassures us in Dua Al-Arafah, where he says, "Ilahi, inna raja'i la yanqati'u ank wa in asaytuk." Oh my God, verily my hope in you does not cease, even if I may disobey you. Not my words, the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Verily my hope in you does not cease, even if I disobey you. "Kama anna khawfi la yuzaa Yiluni wa in ata'atuk." Similarly, my fear does not leave me even if I obey you. We learn very clearly that we should never, ever, ever stop believing in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what we've done. We should never give up on that mercy. That feeling that you may have felt last night on some of those stories that we shared about those sins and how we've left it too long and we're in our 40s or 50s or 20s and we've left it too late. Imam Hussein is being clear, never ever lose hope in that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always have hope. Even when you make a mistake, He'll still remain merciful to you. What is a proof of that? A very simple proof. Even if I have done the worst of sins, Allah still gives me the sun to look after me and to ensure my body temperature can reach 37 degrees and I can survive. That is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if I've sinned. And you can count many more, I'm sure. If we take this mindset, we can actually fall in love to such an extent with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we become worried to be far from Him. Look at that. Be worried to become far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sinning takes a different view. It's now, I don't want to sin because I don't want to be far from you, Allah. Because when I'm near you, I just feel so many more blessings. So much more rahmah and rahim that you bestow in my life. The fear in reality with regards to Allah is our distance from Him. That when we live a life full of sin, full of corruption, full of hate, full of jealousy, etc., our fear is that we're not near Him. And the gap between us and Him hurts our soul so much and we start to live an awful life. But maybe we then ask the question, have my sins upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I've done so many, my list is endless. I don't even know all of them that I've done, so maybe the ship's already gone and I've missed it. Have my sins upset Allah that He's now turned away from me? We need to understand, well, what impact have my sins had on Allah? To which Imam al-Hussein tells us, Ya man la tadurruhu dhunuba ibadih. Oh, he who is not harmed by the sins of his servants. Don't worry. He's not harmed by it. وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ عَنْ طَاعَتِهِمْ. And who can surely do without their disobedience. Allah is needless. So whether you sin or not, doesn't affect Him. Whether you obey Him or not, doesn't affect Him. Nothing of our actions affects Allah. He doesn't need our worship. So what have we been thinking this whole time in our life when we get on the prayer mat and we're like, I'm praying to make you happy so it helps you, Allah? No, it doesn't help Him. It does nothing for Him. Why? He's needless. The only person that this salah, the only person that this istighfar is going to help and has helped is ourselves. Look how merciful this Lord is. You give me a gift, it benefits me. This isn't a gift for Allah. This is a gift for your own soul and your own salvation. Everything God has created is there to benefit us. Nothing but us. And look at this line to see what this taqwa, and we'll come on to define it, what this taqwa of Allah does. I know this lecture may be a little bit more dry than usual, but I'm hoping that by at this point in this night, our headspace is a little bit different and we can reflect a bit deeply on these words of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And if that is the case, I kindly ask you once again, and I'm so sorry to ask, to try as much as you can on this night to squeeze up, create some difficulty perhaps for yourself, and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, through the blessings of Allah, will reward you. Kindly move as far to the right as you can, sisters, as far to the front and left as you can. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
In honor of Sayyidah Zainab Umm al-Masa'ib, Jabal al-Sabr, the mother of Musiba, the mother of tragedies, and the mountain of patience, Aflaha man salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
wa ajil farajahum wa la'na adahum ila yawm al-qiyamah. So as I said, I know this may be a little bit dry. I know it may not be as engaging as I try to normally be, but I'm just hoping you can bear with me given the nature of the night, and we can all focus on these words of Imam Hussein. And forgive me if it's a shortcoming, please forgive me. Given that we now understand that Allah has just created all of this for us, these ibadah for us, this istighfar for us, to benefit us and us only, we then ask this question, what of this taqwa, which we usually call God consciousness, remembering Allah, but we'll define it in a second. What is the value of this taqwa? What is the value of constantly remembering that Allah is there and therefore I should abide by His sharia? Imam al-Hussein says, أَسْعِدْنِي بِالتَّقْوَاكِ. Make me happy, fortunate and prosperous through having taqwa of you. Having Allah with you only makes you happy, makes you fortunate and you prosperous. Why would you not want that in your life? For what reason? Do you want to be sad? Do you want to be upset in the long term? Do you want to be frustrated? Do you want to die alone? Do you want to face the punishment in the next time? Why would anyone want this? This taqwa of Allah is simply offering you fortune, prosperity and happiness. Yes, there may be something in the short term that gives you that, but you know it's not going to last. And on the contrary, if we leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُشْقِنِي بِمَعْصِيَتِكَ, and do not let me have an unfortunate life through disobeying you. No matter the money, without Allah, boring life, terrible life. Yes, initially happy, but in the long term, it doesn't work out. We're the ones that are benefiting from taqwa. It's us, nobody else. So let's change this mindset tonight. When we pledge this change to Imam al-Hussein, pledge it from a perspective of, I want to get nearer to you, Allah, and that's going to help me. We then experience His warmth and His greatness. In the same way that we need oxygen and water in our life in order to prosper, in order to keep ourselves going, we need Allah in our life to continue to be the best version that we can be and to grow towards infinity. Why would you want to leave Him behind? For what reason? On this night, whatever that reason that comes to your head is, pledge to Imam al-Hussein to just drop it. Don't think twice. Rip the bandage off. Just drop it. You don't need it. You only need Allah. And that's what He called for. He gives His life for all of us. This miserly slave who's holding on to power and ego. Just drop it, Sadiq, and you can reach Allah. This is what I'm trying to teach you. I lost my hands and neck and body and arms and limbs and dignity and everything. And I'm showing you that I left in complete happiness. You can drop everything that you have that's materialistic, and I promise you, you'll also find this happiness that I've experienced. No, but oh Hussein, oh Mawla, I say labayk to you, but I can't leave that behind. I've worked too hard for it. Is that more valuable than the limbs of Hussein? You know the answer. But what is this taqwa that we speak of? It's wrongly translated as God-fearing. Some say it's God-consciousness. Literally, it means to protect and keep. So let's say that after these nights of majalis, maybe you'll come tomorrow, I'm not sure. Maybe you'll come the day after, I'm not sure. Let's say this is your last night of majalis. And that during these days, through the intercession of Hussein, Allah has granted you a moment where you felt His presence again in your heart. Whether it's happened or not, inshallah it has. Maybe you felt that glimmer that you've been missing for so long. You felt that presence of Allah enter your heart again. The root of taqwa is to protect and look after that feeling. So you can always feel that feeling of Allah being present in your heart. That is the goal of taqwa. It's to look after and protect this relationship that you're nurturing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping God present in every single moment that you're facing, no matter what they do, a knife to my neck, I'll still find Allah in that moment. Taqwa now becomes so special. It's like gluing and cementing this relationship with God, as the tafsir of Dua Arafah from Shaykh Muhammad Jawad Shamali tells us. And to get there, Amir al-Mu'mineen gives us a very clear narration. أَوَّلُ الدِّينِ مَعْرِفَتُهُ. The foremost point in religion is knowing Him. So if you want to experience that felicitation in every single second of your life, you need to understand Allah. You need to study about Allah. You need to build that glue and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Allah says, Subhanallah amma yasifuna illa ibadallah al-mukhlisin. God is far above than what they attribute to Him. Except for God's sincere chosen servants. They can take you to Allah, these sincere chosen servants. And you will not be surprised when I say that amongst those chosen servants of Allah is Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. That is why you've all gathered here. To remember Him, to get closer to that. But why leave this majlis having remembered him, but not got closer to that. Why? This taqwa that we've just mentioned is fascinating, and we'll expand on it even more in just a moment. But I just want to address those of us who are worried that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have given up on us already. Imam al-Hussein says, Ya dhal ma'roof alladhi la yanqati'u abada. Oh, the one whose kindness never stops. Nothing, not even our shortcomings, can interrupt or pause Allah's mercy. And maybe now I'm beginning to recognize my ignorance towards my Creator. Inshallah, if we can, I'm really sorry to have to disrupt you again. If you can at all find any space, try and fill up. I know you may be really tight. I know it's easy for me to stay from here. But if you can, move to this side. Move as far forward as you can. Sisters as well. It'll be greatly, greatly appreciated. I'm so sorry to inconvenience you. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Even if we can create 1, 2, 3 more spaces, it will make such a difference to those believers that would like to come in. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa
ajal. Jazakum Allah khair al-jazaa. Maybe at some point in these days, I've recognized my ignorance towards this all-loving, merciful Creator that has created this universe to help me find my potential. And even with that ignorance, Imam al-Hussein has a line for this as well. Ilahi ma altafaka bi ma'a azim jahli. Oh my God, how gentle you are to me despite the magnitude of my ignorance. Despite what we've done, Allah's gentle, kind nature to us has been faultless. I only worry about my physical wealth, nothing about my spiritual wealth, yet you've still continued to be gentle towards me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it continues in this part of the dua to answer whether our bad actions will ever stop Allah from being gentle and kind to us. Ma arhamaka bi ma'a qabihi fi'li. How merciful you are to me despite my hideous deeds. You're still there, Allah, despite everything that I've done. You're still there, you're still there, you'll never leave me, right? We make so many mistakes, yet Allah continues to have this mercy for me. Wa ma ara'afaka bi. How kind you are to me, not just merciful, but gentle and kind despite this ignorance. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described by Imam al-Hussein. Why would you not want to journey towards this loving, kind, merciful Creator? What has Allah done? Such that you hate him so much, that I hate him so much, that I don't even want to go towards him. He's only shown me love, and I turn to him with hatred and anger. What am I doing? What is stopping me? Imam al-Hussein only shows mercy and love to these enemies of Allah, but at some point he draws the line. They show hate to him whilst he tried to guide them towards Haqq. Allah shows me mercy and evil. At what point is Allah going to draw a line with me? We're hoping by these lines of Imam Hussein that never. Never. But what if it's too late? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even kinder. Usiya fasatar. God is disobeyed, yet he covers us. Oh my servant, even if you've made a mistake, I'm not going to expose it. I'll still cover you. Why? Because maybe that shame that you'll feel will make you think that I don't care about you. I care about you so much that that sin, I'll keep it secret from everyone. Don't worry. Don't worry about the community judging you. I've got you. I just want you to come back so I can give you more so you can reach your potential. You start to see the picture, right? He's so loving. He wants you to succeed, but it's just us and our egos that hold us back. But you see, it's never, ever, ever too late to return to him. He wants us to turn back to him. We said it yesterday. He loves those that turn back towards him. I just want to revisit that definition of taqwa. Yes, we want to protect that spiritual feeling, that presence of Allah in our heart that may have touched us during the Masa'ib of Ahlul Bayt during these days. We want to protect that moment. And you can live a life where you only experience that moment. Imagine your whole life, you're just feeling that spiritual elevation. It's possible. But with another understanding of taqwa, it tells us how we need to get there. And this comes from Ayatollah Dastaghaib Shirazi. He says another understanding of this is to safeguard or abstain. That is what taqwa is, to abstain or safeguard. Defined as the action of restraining oneself from disobeying the commandments of Allah. We said we have two wings when we go to Allah. Yes, His mercy is infinite, but He is also just. When Imam al-Sadiq was asked to elaborate on the meaning of taqwa, he's reported to say, submit to the command of Allah and do not go near the prohibited. And there's me engaging with the prohibited. Imam al-Sadiq, don't even go near it. When people say to you, oh, you're being too religious, you're being holier than thou. No, no, no. My Imam told me not to go near to the prohibited. So with respect, I will avoid this. We've stressed so much that Allah's mercy is there even if we slip up. But we don't want to fall into this trap with the concept of sinning no longer mattering, because then we have Allah who's going to forgive us 100%. That takes us towards the side of the Christians who say, do what you want. Jesus died to save us. No, that is not the way that Islam sees it. Yes, you have the ship of salvation, but you have to board it. And perhaps your visa to get on there is to say, I've left that past behind, O Hussein. Here's me in my new self. And he'll say, now I can see that you're ready to go towards Allah. So what warnings do we have to tell us to avoid sin? Firstly, a narration from our Holy Sixth Imam where he's reported to say to refrain from eating a single morsel, a single mouthful of haram is near Allah more valued than the performance of 2,000 rakats of recommended prayer. Avoiding one bite of something that is haram is more valued than the performance of 2,000 units of prayer. Meaning what? Of recommended prayer. Meaning what? Avoid haram as much as you can and focus on that rather than even your mustahabbat. The priority is to not disobey Allah first and foremost. In another hadith, Imam al-Sadiq reported to say, to forego a single dirham of prohibited money is equally near to Allah to 70 accepted hajjs. How much prohibited money do we line our pockets with? Imam saying even Hajj, 70 of them, if you can avoid that money, then that is dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the last time, I'm so sorry. If you can, as much to this side, I know you've tried. I know if maybe one of the youngsters can take this spot here in this white gap, that'd be great. Any of the youngsters, just try, optimize the space around you as much as you can. There's perhaps even a space here towards the front for some one of our young children. Aflaha man salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. May Allah bless you for the trouble that you go through to remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. To ease the heart of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, kindly offer salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali. May Allah bless you for all of the struggle that you've gone through to make this majlis happen and to make as many of the believers enter. May Allah reward you for it and allow it to be an intercession for you in the Akhirah.
Nare Hedri!
Ya Ali! Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. To forego a single dirham of prohibited money is equal near to Allah to 70 accepted hajjs. Imam al-Sadiq is reported to continue, strive more to perform good deeds. However, if you cannot perform a good act, at least do not disobey the commands of Allah. Because if one lays the foundation of building and does not spoil it, then even if the progress is slow, the building will definitely rise. And on the other hand, the person who lays the foundation and at the same time spoils it, then it is sure that the walls of his building will never be raised. If you build a lifestyle based on that which is haram, It's not going to go anywhere. From the very beginning, it's tainted. In its foundation, it's disobeyed Allah. So abstain, abstain, abstain. To myself more than anyone, abstain. Going to Allah with a clean heart and one good deed is better than going to Allah with many sins and many good deeds. Tonight, if we really believe, yes, you could leave today's majlis and it could just be another Ashura night. Or you have a choice through the invitation that Allah has given you to attend this majlis today to leave with the intention that I'm done with it. I'm leaving it behind. Whatever that thing is on your head, I'm leaving it behind. You have that decision today to make. You've been invited to make it today. You've been invited to board the ship of salvation. Now it's up to you. I promise you, whatever that thing that you are struggling with to let go of, if it's a habit or whatever, Allah will help you with it. When He sees His slave turning towards Him, He takes steps towards him or her and helps. Just like as a mother does, right? But with infinitely more mercy. I think the point is well made, inshallah. And if deep down you feel there is a covenant that you can make, then make it and seal it with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
It's our choice whether we make this pledge tonight. And for many days you've said, Labbaik Ya Hussein, Labbaik Ya Hussein, Labbaik Ya Hussein. When you make that pledge of Labbaik Ya Hussein, oh Hussein, I'm here for you. Yes, physically, fine, I may be there. But spiritually, am I with you? If this was my last night in your camp, oh Hussein, I say, yeah, I would have come, I would have come. But when you turned out that candle according to some narrations, or when you let everyone leave in the darkness of the night, and when you warned me that I would be cut into pieces, perhaps I would have done the runner. Am I ready now, at this very moment in my life, to go towards Allah? This is the last night that the companions had to make this decision. Some of them had just recently joined Imam al-Hussein. Some of them have been there since day. But on this night, they had a choice. Now we're going to test you. Either you're with us or against us. Ma'akum or ma'aduwikum. Are you with us or are you with our enemies? Tonight and tomorrow are significant. Our etiquette should therefore change in respect of these very, very somber days. A hadith that we have from our holy eighth Imam, Gharib al-Gharaba, Imam al-Ridha, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi. He's reported to say that no one could have seen my father's smile when the month of Muharram came. Talking about Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. No one could have seen my father's smile when the month of Muharram came. Sadness was increasing in his face day by day till the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. And when the 10th of day of Muharram would dawn, it would be a day of grief and weeping for him. So what can I do between today and tomorrow to try and make some small change, tiny, tiny changes, but with a small change, we may see the difference and we may make a bigger change, and it may be like momentum that we build up. This is your opportunity to start pushing that rock that for years has been difficult to move. Tiny changes. Maybe for the next 24 hours you give up meat or anything sweet. Maybe for the next 24 hours you don't wear perfume, you don't groom your beard, you don't comb your hair. Maybe for the next 24 hours, you don't take the nicest bag, you don't wear the nicest clothes, you don't wear something that you would otherwise wear. Another practical thing that we can do, according to a hadith attributed to Imam al-Sadiq, when he's in discussion with Dawood al-Raqi, we're told that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam asked for some water. And after he drank it, his eyes were filled with tears and he started to cry. The Imam said to Dawood, "O Dawood, may Allah's la'an be upon the killers of Hussein alayhi salam. Verily, if a slave of Allah drinks water remembering Hussein and doing the la'an of his killers, Allah will enregister 100,000 good deeds for him. He will wipe 100,000 bad deeds for him from his book of deeds and will add 100,000 ranks to his status. And it will be as if he has freed 100,000 slaves. On the day of judgment, Allah will resurrect him with his heart filled with peace." So maybe overnight and into tomorrow, when we do need a few drops of water, send that salam to Imam al-Hussein and that la'an to his killers. And maybe make that a habit and start to see what change that can bring about within you. We then have a lengthy tradition via our Holy Fifth Imam, where it's reported to say, those who go to the ziyarah of Hussein on the 10th day of Muharram and spend the night next to him crying over him will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the reward of 2 million hajj and 2 million umrah and the reward of fighting 2 million battles in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we haven't had that opportunity to go. Moreover, the reward for each one of these Hajj, Umrah and battles will be equivalent to the reward of those who have gone to Hajj and Umrah and have fought with the Rasulullah and the righteous Imams. May Allah's blessings be upon them. The person overhearing this asked, "May I sacrifice myself for you? What about those who are in distant lands and far countries and cannot travel to him on that day?" Here's advice from Imam al-Baqir for all of us who are about to enter Yawm al-Ashura, the day of Ashura. You can take his advice or leave it, as you wish. But it is our duty to share these noble words of the infallibles with you. And remember, if you feel that these words are slightly exaggerated, remember these are the words of Ahlul Bayt and the words of Ahlul Bayt of the teachings and guidance and words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can doubt them, no problem. But that's on your head. Imam replies to this dear man who asks him, "What about those of us who are not in Karbala and live in faraway lands?" He's reported to say, on the day of Ashura, in the middle of the day and before noon, they should go to a desert or to an elevated part of their house and direct their salam to Hussein by pointing towards him. Send la'an on his killers increasingly and establish 2 units of prayer. Then they should mourn and cry over Hussein. They should order everyone in their house to cry over him. They should hold a gathering in their house in which Hussein's tragedies are mentioned and become restless over the tragedies of Hussein alayhi salam and meet one another in their houses while crying and consoling one another over the tragedy of Hussein. Verily, if they do this, I, Imam al-Baqir, guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will register all of those rewards mentioned for going to his on the day of Ashura for them. I ask, may I sacrifice myself for you? Will you guarantee and promise these rewards for those who do this? The Imam is reported to reply, I guarantee and promise these rewards for those who do this. He then asks, how should they console one another? The Imam is reported to say, أعظم الله أجورنا بمصابنا بالحسين وجعلنا وإياكم من الطالبين بثاره مع وليه الإمام الهدى من آل محمد وإليه إلى الإمام المهدي من آل محمد. May Allah increase our rewards for being grieved over the tragedy of Hussein, and may He make us and you among those who seek to avenge him with his heir, the rightly guided Imam from the family of Muhammad. Your household tonight, the gathering when we leave this majlis today, should not be one of worldly talks. Please, I implore you, on the guidance of Imam al-Baqir, once this majlis ends, with love to your brothers and sisters, just leave. Unless you take part in the Masaib of Hussein. Do not allow this night and tomorrow to turn into worldly affairs and chatter. Please, please, please try. It's a simple change for 24 hours. You've always asked me to share practical advice. This is as practical as it gets from Imam al-Baqir. For these 10 days, just try, for this 10th day, just try and not engage with this conversation unless it's about the tragedies of Hussein. If someone tries to ask you, hey, what about dinner next week? Say, look, I love you, my dear brother, but today I love you for Hussein, and today is the day of Hussein. Therefore, let's chat about it the day after. Do it with love and adab. And if someone says that to you, don't get angry with them. Respect them for their love of Hussein. Just try. Just try. If we can make these tiny changes in these hours, perhaps we'll start to see the momentum of this change start to pick up velocity, and we can leave away all those habits behind us. The hadith of Imam al-Baqir goes on, but for now, I will leave it, but he does end by recommending the ziyarat of Ashura as well, and then he reads the entire ziyarat as well. As of tonight, decide on one thing that you leave behind. For my youngsters, try avoid Instagram, try avoid WhatsApp, just the essentials, try and avoid TV, just do something to say, you know what, Imam Hussein, I know this is tiny, but it's big for me. And I just want to show for your respect that I'm going to make some small change. Just please try and do something. On this night, the companions probably are feeling a little bit of fear. They're crying, they're nervous, but they're preparing themselves. Tonight is the night where we are with our awaited Savior, and we're preparing for our known death tomorrow. This could be us in a few years' time. What state are we in right now? Tonight, write it on your phone, write it on a piece of paper. What state am I in right now? Write a text to yourself to say, oh Sadiq, this is the state that I'm in today, and this is what I need to improve. Given that I will die tomorrow, what three words will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use to describe me? Grateful or miserly? Godly or ignorant? Husseini or Yazidi? The Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam had sought for the confrontation to be delayed until the next day. Why? Not out of fear, but so that they could spend yet another night in prayer to their Lord, to supplicate to Him, to ask for forgiveness. For He knows that I've always loved praying to Him, reciting His books, supplicating to Him frequently, and seeking His forgiveness, the narrations tell us, is said in that moment. Think back to that discussion on Barzakh. If you know tonight is the night, what is your Barzakh going to look like this time tomorrow? Final embraces happen in the camp of Hussein. Fathers to sons, mothers to sons, mothers, fathers to daughters, mothers to daughters, siblings, children. Were they sad? Were they scared because they were leaving them? Were they sad or scared because they were going to Shahada? I don't know. But what would I do? Would I be panicked about death, or panicked about leaving my family, or excited to meet my Lord? Because when that grave is closed up, am I regretting a specific sin that's top of mind right now? If so, pledge to leave it behind. That grudge that we have against someone, just leave it today. Forgive them in this moment in the name of Hur. That grudge you have against this person right now who you're not replying to, just leave it. Reflect. The night in the camp of Hussein was so special. A night that will never be seen again. 9 fell, and Al-Husayn alayhi salam spent the night bowing and in prostration, tearfully seeking Allah's forgiveness, beseeching Him and whispering to Him. His companions also spent their time in worship, causing a continuous murmur that history tells us sounded like the buzzing of bees. Perhaps they were saying lines like Allahumma ighfirli adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a. Oh Allah, forgive me those sins which hold back supplication. Allahumma ighfirli adh-dhunub allati taqta'u ar-raja. Oh Allah, forgive me those sins which cut down the hopes. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. Oh Allah, forgive me those sins which draw down tribulation. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبت وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. Oh Allah, forgive me every sin I have committed and every mistake that I've made. Why? وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ الضَّعِيفُ الذَّلِيلُ الْحَقِيرُ الْمِسْكِينُ الْمُسْتَكِينُ. For I am your weak, lonely, wretched and miserable slave. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is reported to say that on the evening of the day before my father was martyred, I was sitting and my aunt Zainab was tending to me. Remember, Imam Sajjad is severely ill throughout this time. When my father withdrew from his companions and returned to his own tent, Huwai, the freedman of Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, was with him, preparing Imam Hussein alayhi salam, aligning his sword. And Imam Sajjad says that he overheard Imam al-Hussein reciting these lines, Ya Dahru Uffin Laka Min Khalil, O time away with you as a friend. كم لك بالإشراق والأصيل. How many dawns and sunsets have you had من صاحب أو طالب قتيل. At which your companions or seekers lay dead. والدهر لا يقنع بالبديل. Time will not be content with a substitute. وإنما الأمر إلى الجليل. The decision rests with the majestic one. وكل حي سالك السبيل. And every living being will have to travel the path. Imam alayhi salam repeated these lines two or three times, history tells us. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam understood its meaning. He knew what this meant about his father. His tears choked him. He forced them back and fought for calm. He knew that they were going to face a huge trial. Zainab alayhi salam also heard this and she started to express her grief. Oh woe, I wish death would release me from life. Today it is as if my mother Fatima, my father Ali and my brother Al-Hasan have died. O successor of those who have gone and refuge of those who remain. Hussein says, O sister, may Shaytan never take away your forbearance. Zainab alayhi salam is reported to say, may my father and mother be ransomed to you, Abu Abdullah. You are preparing for death. May I be sacrificed to you, O brother Hussein. The Arab community have a poem that talks about this hard night of Ashura. They say, and listen to these words, Ya lil tawil sa'atank, O night, prolong your hours. Ya lil tawil sa'atank. صوتك يا ليل أحمل آهاتك. Oh night, prolong your hours. Oh night, I will carry your pains. لو ودعت الوليان. Once I say goodbye to my loved ones, تتوان لان العدوان. The enemies will overcome me, so therefore, يا ليل طول ساعاتك, يا ليل طول ساعاتك. Oh night, prolong your hours. Oh night, prolong your hours. Because on the next day, tragedy would befall Ali Muhammad over and over again. After Abbas alayhi salam is killed, Imam al-Hussein looks around and he says, هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ عَنْ حُرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Is there anyone to defend the sanctity of the Messenger of Allah? Is there a believer who fears Allah? Is there a helper seeking Allah by helping us? At this moment, my dear brothers and sisters, there was weeping from the women in the camp, but a man would stand up by the name of Imam Sajjad, leaning on his walking stick and dragging his sword. Because he was extremely ill, he was unable to move. Ajarakum Allah ya Imam Sajjad. When Imam al-Hussein saw him, he called Umm Kulthum and told her, stop him so that this earth is not emptied of the progeny of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She returned Imam al-Sajjad to his bed, and wearing a full-length black-coloured coat made of wool and a coloured turban, letting the ends of it run over his shoulders, Imam al-Hussein ordered his family to be quiet and he began to bid farewell to each of them. He then put on the cloak of Rasulullah and would carry Rasulullah's sword. Imam al-Hussein would request a garment of no value to wear under his clothing. Why? Because he knew that when he would be killed, his clothes would be stolen. Therefore, Imam al-Hussein wanted to wear this garment to ensure that the enemies would not even take this most basic of a clothing. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. He took an old outfit and made some cuts in it and wore it underneath his clothes. He also asked for cotton trousers that he put holes in and wore them, as he knew that they would not be taken after his martyrdom. The Imam alayhi salam, after preparing himself for the battle, perhaps his fatherly instincts overtook. Perhaps he would hear the crying of the babies of Ali Muhammad. Perhaps he wanted to bid farewell to his young baby for the last time, knowing that his young son would be an orphan in just a few moments. The Imam alayhi salam asks for his baby son to be brought to him to bid him farewell. Zainab alayhi salam would bring this tiny baby to Imam al-Hussein. His mother is said to be Rabab, O Rabab, Ajarakum Allah ya Mawlati, how you gave away this baby. Imam al-Hussein did what any father would do at this point in time. He sat him on his lap. He embraced his son. You've all seen babies. You see how tender they are, how soft they are, how dependent on their parents they are, how soft their arms are, how soft their necks are, how they scream for the milk of their mother, how they scream for the water if there is no milk. Hussein alayhi salam holds his young baby in his lap, bidding him farewell. He would kiss him and he would say these lines. Distance are these people from the mercy of Allah when your grandfather al-Mustafa will be against them. I'm sorry, but these lines are very difficult to read out. And for my dear fathers, I'm so sorry to say this. And for my dear mothers, I'm even more sorry to say these lines with you. Ajarakum Allah, Ajarakum Allah. Imam al-Hussein would then carry the young baby with him in front of the enemies, asking for a very simple request that no human would ever deny a young baby. Asking for some water for this young parched baby. I wonder what happens to the mind of Hussein when he would see the enemy's reaction to this moment. I wonder if he would think, what is the crime of this young baby? Perhaps he would think that they would have an issue with him, but why would they have an issue with this young innocent soul? He has done nothing to deserve your enmity. Can you not hear his cries? Can you not see how small and tender my dear son is? Perhaps he would have these ideas in his head. History doesn't tell us, but as a father, I can only think maybe this is what he thought. For those of you who have carried a young newborn baby, they barely even take up your arm, right? How small is this baby? I ask you how long an arrow is compared to the size of a baby. Hussein, I can't even say these lines. How did you experience it? Ya Allah. At this point in time, a wretched enemy of Allah, known for his archery ability, he would pick an arrow. He would place it in his bow and directing towards Imam al-Hussein and the young baby of Hussein. Oh, the land of Ashura, I ask you, what did you see when this arrow left the bow of Hurmala? Perhaps, oh land of Ashura, you threw sand in the air to stop the arrow. Perhaps, oh land of Ashura, you could have done something to stop this from happening. Because when this arrow would fly through the air, it would land in the neck of Ali in al-Azghar. Oh, Ya Hussein. This young baby would receive this arrow in his neck whilst in the arms of his father, who just wanted water for him. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam fills his hand with the blood of the baby. He throws it up to the sky, and history tells us that not a single drop of it lands on the plains of Karbala. Imam al-Hussein would then hear a voice that would console him. To my dear mothers in this gathering, may Allah bless you for how you've looked after all of us as babies. Only you know the men will never understand what a moment it is to give your child milk. And only you would know what that feeling would be like if you cannot give your child that milk. And only you would know, oh my dear mothers, how satisfied you would be if your baby eventually receives milk from somewhere. Hussein hears a voice telling him, Da'hu ya Hussein, let him go. Hussein, why? فَإِنَّ لَهُ مُرْضِعًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, there is a nursing mother for him now in paradise. Imam al-Hussein returns to the tent of Zainab, carrying his slaughtered young baby in his arms. However, he did not take him back to his mother. I wonder why. For without doubt, it would have been unbearable for a mother to see their baby in such a way. Zainab alayhi salam would come out of her tent and see the infant boy who has been murdered, and the arrow that was in his throat from one end of his neck to the other with blood all over his chest. Imam al-Hussein then dismounted from his horse. He would dig a small grave for the baby using the end of his sword. He would bury his young son Ali in al-Asghar covered in his blood. May Allah bless your tears. May Allah bless your tears. I'd just like to end with just a few lines of poetry about this young infant Ali in al-Asghar. And my dear mothers, again, these words may mean more for you than they do to us, but even for my dear brothers, I'm sure you can resonate with these words. Keep your heads bound down, keep thinking about this moment, but I want your heart to go right now, not to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, but to the mother of Ali in al-Azghar. A mother's heart connects to his every tear. The poem describes how a mother looks after their child and then says the reality that the mother has to face. A mother's heart connects to his every tear. You'll never see a baby cry without the mother next to them. She lives to wipe away all of his pure tears. Not a single danger can ever come near. Call me when you're in need. She makes this so clear. But why's that arrow point to him? And why? For he has done no sin. Oh, why is this our Muhsin? Ali, Ali, Ali. Let me take that arrow. I can't kiss your neck now. Let me. Just
Just one more verse with your permission, inshallah. Just one more verse. A mother runs and serves when she hears his calls. No matter the request, be it big or small, she will keep him secure as he learns to crawl. And she'll be right there to catch any fall. But why can't I give him water? And why is he a small soldier? Oh, why does he crawl no longer? Ali, 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 let me give you armor. I can't hold your arm. Let me give you armor. I can't hold your arm. Sorry, I'll give you one more verse. A mother takes her son to play in the sand. She will hold him close and cradle in her hands. In such a calm haven, nothing can be sad. Motherly smiles, a sign he understands. But why's the burning sand his bed? And why can he not now be fed? Oh, why will he not move his head? Ali, 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 let me kiss you once more. I can't watch this no more. Let me kiss you once more. I can't watch this no more. Oh, my Lord, don't let this be a 6-month-old tragedy. I want to hug my baby. Ali, 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 I can't hear his cries. No, I can't see his neck. No, I can't hear his cries. No, I can't see his neck, no.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
On this last night that we have of Ashura, I sincerely ask you to stop and take part in the Aza. I know it's busy, but the busier the better, the more we can all inspire each other to shed tears for Hussein. For we're told, Abki lil Hussein, Abki lil Hussein, Abki lil Hussein, cry for him, cry for him, cry for him. So as you recite the Aza today, give it everything that you have. Feel the beat of that chest as if those were the hooves of Hussein running over, the hooves of the horses running over the body of Hussein. Hold nothing back on this night, inshallah, and remember the pain of Hussein and the pain of the mother of Ali and al-Asghar. Ha. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya. Your voices, please. Ha. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya. Don't stop, don't stop, ha! Huh? Ya Hussein, Hussein, Ya Hussein, Hussein, Ya Hussein, Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.